right, well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome any guests we have with us here this morning, and it's just good to be here and good to be worshiping with all of you. My name is Randall Benbow. I am one of the pastors here at Country Hills Church, and my primary role is overseeing the small group ministry. For those of you who don't know myself or don't know Nicole, recently we just something fairly big happened in our lives, and our lives changed quite a bit just a few weeks ago. And I think I just want to start by sharing a bit of that story. Now, don't worry, it actually does connect to the sermon. I'm not just sharing it for the sake of sharing it here. So my wife Nicole and I, we had our first child, a baby boy named Elijah, 3 weeks ago on July 6th. And we are excited that he is healthy and that he is slowly but steadily putting on weight and, learning to nurse and all those things. But Elijah came 2 months early. And because he was so premature, he has been and will continue to be in the neonatal intensive care unit at the, or NICU, at the Grand River Hospital for a couple more weeks at least, we expect. And just do that growing and developing that he would have done inside of Nicole if things went according to plan, or our plan anyway. During these past 3 weeks, Nicole and I have come to God on numerous occasions, and we've just asked God, why? You know, why us? Why now? Yeah, why? On July 5th, when we realized that Nicole was going into labor, that the actual pain she was feeling in her abdomen was not just gas or an upset stomach, but actual contractions. We both looked at each other, and when we realized that's what it was, we knew what the other was thinking and feeling. I was doing everything I could to fight off that panic, that fear that can so easily consume someone in a situation like that, and I just tried to be calm and make some logical decisions. When Nicole realized she was bleeding a little bit, I had just gotten back from getting groceries because I was like, we need to eat dinner tonight. We don't have any food in the fridge. And so I had just gotten groceries and we got back and she was like, we got to go to the hospital now. And trying to think logically, trying to make sound decisions, we just started driving to the hospital and I couldn't really remember how to get to Grand River Hospital. We hadn't practiced the route. We still had 2 months, right? And so I took the longer route of Westmount through rush hour and construction and all that good stuff and across through Victoria. But so it probably took us 10 minutes longer than we needed. During that car ride, we didn't actually talk a lot, but I just kept praying and asking God, why? What's going on? Like, I just asked him, take care of our little boy. Because you never know when it's that early. After 11 hours of labor, Nicole was able to naturally deliver Elijah at the Grand River Hospital here in Kitchener. We didn't really know what to expect when we saw him. We were wondering, could he even breathe properly? How big would he be? Would he be healthy, all things considered? And amazingly, he came out at 4 pounds, 3 ounces, a little bit above average for his gestational age of a late 30 weeks. But immediately after he was born, it was that surreal feeling of, you see it on the movies or something where it's just, you have a whole team of like two doctors in there, I don't know, half a dozen nurses, and they took him right away and, we could hear them working on him and we could hear a few gasps of breath, so we knew he was at least breathing a little bit. But it was pretty hard a few hours later, finally being able to go and see him, to see him hooked up to all kinds of monitors and all kinds of things to help him breathe. The picture up in the top right corner is that, if you want to maybe just dim the lights at the front, please, Gary, if you could. That's the first time we got to see him. He had a little, what's called a CPAP on his nose, and that's to help fill his lungs with air. Well, not all the lights. Thanks. And it's to help him breathe, and then he had other things, just measuring his heart rate, blood pressure, different things. And it was a little scary to see him trying to move his lungs in and out, seeing him struggle, with each breath, and we didn't really know how long that would last. What was amazing is that the pediatrician, he felt confident enough at that time that only after 14 hours of being on it to remove the CPAP. And I was like, I don't know, he doesn't look like he's handling it too well so far. But the pediatrician was like, we try to do as little as possible, as little intervention as possible, and see how strong the babies are. And so I was expecting Elijah to maybe have to go back on in a few hours or the next day or something, and we just kept waiting for that call or the announcement. And he didn't have to. He was able to breathe on his own. And that was one of, not the first blessing, but one of many blessings that we just felt God was just taking care of him and holding him close. Again, on that first day he was born, that Saturday, July 6th, we ended up being discharged from the hospital. And that's not an easy thing. You know, when you have a baby, you hope and expect to be able to bring that baby home with you. And Nicole and I on the car ride home just asked God why. We just broke down crying, just asking him what's going on. Why us? And became my prayer through that first week. We got to hold him the next day. That was the first time Nicole got to hold Elijah. And it just became my prayer through that day and that week. God, hold him close. Hold him closer than I can hold him. Because I couldn't hold him with just wrapped in a towel and, you know, very carefully, because he had a center line in his umbilical cord and all these other things. And I just put my trust in God. And so did Nicole. And there have been many tests that Elijah has had to pass in order to keep progressing, such as his ability to digest milk and put on weight and go off IVs and just regulate his own body temperature. And then the next test he has to pass is learning how to nurse and get all the milk he needs from that. And we've had a few minor setbacks along the way, and some concerns that he may even have had to go to McMaster for more intensive care. But with each test, he's been able to pass them before a critical point. And we know that without a doubt that God has been with us through this whole thing. You know, the support we've received from our families and from our church family here, from friends that were just praying, it's been incredible. And we are so incredibly grateful. Over these last 3 weeks, as I've been saying, Nicole and I have been asking each other, what is God doing? You know, why us? Why our first baby? Why not? Maybe it would be our third baby or something. And we've received a lot of blessings. You know, people were praying for Nicole just before she delivered. People have been praying, you know, that his breathing would catch up. And he's been able to breathe on his own, and he's doing fine with that. He was having trouble at first digesting the milk, and then he's been doing that good ever since. And, you know, we were worried about the IV and if it would come out in time, and he was able to consume enough milk that he didn't need the IVs anymore. And so every little step along the way has just been filled with little blessings that we've seen. Even on the night he was born, like, Jeremy sent it out on the prayer train right away, and Julie Prince, who was playing piano, she was working that night in the neonatal area, and she came on her break, and she just came and prayed with us. And she ever since, she's been just checking up on Elijah and just praying for him when she's in at work, and that means a lot. That's very special. Today, we are going to return to our summer series, The Way of Wisdom. And we're going to look at God's will, which is why I decided to share this recent life event that's just happened. But I also wanted to just share some pictures about Elijah, because I love him a lot. He's really cute. But I want to look at God's will and what we can learn through Proverbs and what God shares with us. So I want to look at three different verses and kind of just look at God's will in our lives in kind of three different ways. So our first passage this morning is from Proverbs 19:21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So in this first section, I plan to look quickly at some of the more theological aspects of God's will. I mean, we could do a whole sermon series. You could do tons on looking at God's will. But I want to be brief, but I want to just provide a little bit of context as to where, as the approach I've taken and understand through the Bible as to what God's will is for our lives. So this first verse, God's will prevail. That's what I take from it here. It will overcome those things that challenge it, that try to thwart it. The Bible not only reveals the beginning of God's creation, but also the end of things as we know them today. It has a beginning and an end. And so somehow God, however he will do it, he will bring it to, or he will conclude it the way he wants it. And it doesn't matter if our plans or Satan's plans get in the way, he's going to have what he wants. Now, in saying that, not every single moment, not every single event in our lives is scripted. But certain events will take place as God directs them to fulfill his plans. Like, for instance, I had Captain Crunch for breakfast this morning. God, I don't believe God planned that. I just was able to choose from the cereals we have, and I was like, I want some Captain Crunch because it's good. Although I'm a little hungry now, so it didn't actually stay that long in my stomach. But, yeah, God's will is a little tricky to figure out. And there's one quote that I love, and I have shared it once with you guys, but I can't exactly remember how long ago, so many of you may not have seen it before. And it's a quote that deals with that idea that not every event is scripted, but God's will be fulfilled regardless. And it's this: predestination is not a decretum absolutum. It's Latin for it's not absolute. That tends to deny the free movement of history, but a working out of purposes of God in history. It does not mean that God wills whatever comes to pass, but that God's will and purpose are fulfilled despite the perpetual defiance of his will in human history. I can't put it any better than that. So that's the first aspect of will that I want to look at. The second is God has absolute power. I believe that. I believe he is sovereign over his creation. But he does not rule it with an absolute authority. If he did, we wouldn't be capable of making choices or even sinning. See, God would control us like a remote control if he had absolute power. He would be the dictators and the emperors that, you know, we know from human history that have tried to rule with an iron fist. That would be God ruling with absolute authority. But God, in all his power, has allowed us to be free, because only by being free can we choose to love him or not to love him. You know, you will find yourself, as you read scripture, you will see times where there is, where it's like God is completely in control. This is exactly as God wants it to happen. But there are other times through scripture, you look at the story of Israel, it wasn't happening the way God planned. He constantly had to reroute things, change things, to see his will fulfilled. And the third aspect I wanted to quickly touch on with God's will is that God does not make evil happen. Romans 8, verse 28, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but in summary it is, God is working for our good. So when bad things happen, because our world is fallen, because God has allowed a freedom to persist in his creation, bad things are not an end in themselves. Death is not the end. You know, when the doctor diagnosed why Nicole went into early labor, she said that it was because of a placental abruption. I didn't really know what that was. Later on, when I finally Googled it, I realized how serious that could be. It could be serious for the mom. It could be serious for the child. Infections could be there. And so that's something part of our fallen world, placental abruption. But God, in his goodness, in our situation, allowed for a natural delivery. Allowed for Elijah to be healthy and Nicole to be healthy. No infections. Praise God. In this situation as well, God's taught us to rely on him more than we ever have in our lives. And he's taught us what it means to be loved by the body of Christ and cared for by the body of Christ. I mean, we just had no idea how strong that could be, how powerful that the body of Christ could be in our lives personally until we were so touched by it and blessed by it. Our second verse this morning is from Proverbs 20, verse 24. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Every day we are presented with many opportunities to live out God's will in our lives. I mean, Proverbs, the book we're studying, is filled with it, but so is the rest of Scripture. So many things are littered throughout the Bible that just tell us how to live, how to go about following God. Problem is, I think, many of our days are filled up. We're pretty busy. We plan to walk the dog in the morning. We go to work throughout the day. We come home. We make supper. You know, we play with the kids if we have kids, or we go work out at the gym or whatever it may be, and then maybe we watch a little bit of TV or something in the evening. I mean, our days are kind of busy, and they can make us feel a little tired. A week after Elijah was born, I went to work a few shifts at Home Depot, and a younger guy who works there, he mentioned to me that he was feeling really tired, and I was like, I know what you mean. I just had a baby. Why are you tired? I laughed at him. I mean, I understand it. You know, we get tired. There's things that happen in our lives that make us tired. And the point is, we can be very busy at times. And it's always easy to be focusing on what's coming next. You know, what do I need to do? But what if, here's the question I have. What if we're so busy that we miss opportunities to follow God's will right in front of us? What if in the morning while we are walking our dog, we are so preoccupied with thinking about what needs to be done during the day at work or whatever, that we miss stopping and meeting our neighbor for the first time? Or when walking down the hall at work, we are busy planning the dinner that we need to make to get our kids fed or whatever. We neglect to ask the coworker how their day's going. See, the passage says God directs our steps, but it doesn't mean that each and every step we take is given to us by God. Like I said, we're not operated by a remote control. What it means is that throughout our day, God provides opportunities to follow his will. See, when the Bible talks about God's will, most of the time, it's talking about the same message given to each and every one of us. Same thing. Because God's will for each and every one of us is this, that we love him completely, that we love others, and we serve the world. That's it. That's 90% of it. Really 100% of it. 100% of it. He's just going to tell us to do a few different things sometimes along the way. As I was preparing this, I thought, that's our church's vision. You know, our vision statement is simply that. You know, very simplified. It's, you know, we have a little bit different language, but it's to love God, love others, and serve the world. So if you want to know if you're following God's will for your life, just ask yourself these three simple questions. How am I loving God this week? Have I loved others this week? Have I gone out of my way to love them? And how am I serving people around me? See, that's the purpose that God has for all of us. Lived out in every situation, every place, every time in our lives. We can't put it off by saying God's only called some people to do it, you know, as if, you know, he does call some people specifically to be missionaries or to work in ministry or to a specific job. But these things, they're for all of us. No ifs, ands, or buts. The third verse I want to look at today is we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Proverbs 16:1. So how do we know what God's will is when we have a big decision to make? Because there are times where we are seeking an answer on something. Because sometimes life does just provide that fork in the road. I mean, I could do a survey. How many people are seeking God's will on what they're supposed to do right now on something in their lives? You don't need to put your hand up, but I'm assuming it's a whole bunch of you. You know, it might be, are you looking for a new job? Are you moving to someplace? going to school, dating. You know, I would think most of us have some sort of question that we have to be asked, and that we're asking God, and I think we should be asking him those questions. It's part of our relationship with him. And he wants to give us answers. And my feeling is that most of us do struggle to hear God's word in our lives. And we make decisions, big decisions sometimes, being rather unsure if this really is God's will. Because we, you know, we've prayed about it, but we haven't really heard God say, yes, this is what you are to do. And so we just try to make the best decision we can. Now, if we are looking at God's will through the lens of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, perhaps there is a more appropriate approach to the answers that we are seeking about God's will in our lives. Like, so let's first get this out there. Let's remember that nowhere in the Bible will you find what school you are to go to, who you are to marry, where you are to live. I mean, North America, in their minds, didn't even exist when they wrote the Bible. So you're not going to find it in there. But I want to, let's focus on a specific, one of those approaches specifically. And I want to look at like post-secondary school. Because I know this, you know, personally from experience and, you know, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or something, or a teen who is making these decisions right now, you know somebody or know the experience of like, where am I to go to school? I mean, the teens in our church, many of them, I'm sure, have been asked, so where do you want to go to college? What do you want to do with your life? And you're asked it again and again and again, and you don't know the answer. And you come towards the end of your high school career, and you're still very unsure. For teens here, you know, I'm sure that they've prayed about it. I'm sure parents have prayed for it, and friends have prayed for them. But it doesn't seem like God's given a clear answer, like, this is where I want you to go. This is the school. However, have we ever considered that the answer God might be giving a teen is not that this is the one, but rather there are a bunch of schools that you could go to that still are within my will for your life? Does God give answers like that? You bet he does. So we have a God who's able to make things in so many different ways in our lives. He's a creative God. So let's review the verse again in Proverbs. We make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right example. So taking this example of picking a school, I believe that this verse affirms the idea that God's will for us, at least in certain areas, might be broader than we realize. So to gain more insight about what God might want of us, start asking him questions and asking ourselves those questions in prayer. A teen who feels that there actually might be a number of acceptable schools to attend after high school could ask questions such as, is this a school where I can grow in my faith? Will there be opportunities to grow and learn skills that I can take with me wherever I go? Will there be opportunities for me to get a degree or some work experience or something that I can take with me once I'm done? See, one school may not be more right than the other, but it is how one follows God once they've made that choice to go to a particular school. I was in a situation like this myself when I was trying to choose which seminary to attend. I didn't sense a direct calling to go to Tyndale Seminary in Toronto. It wasn't a megaphone voice saying, this is the school, the only school you can go to. There are no others. I knew there were others. And I weighed my options, I listened to other people, and just trying to sense a godly wisdom, I chose Tyndale because I knew from others that it was a good education, that it would provide an opportunity for me to grow as a Christian and as a follower of Christ. And it would also provide an opportunity to learn from a variety of different denominations, you know, people as well as the professors there. And that was something I valued. So it still doesn't fully answer the big life-changing questions, because sometimes they're so hard that we do want a little more clarity from God on those issues. And when it's not clear what more we can do to use wisdom that he has imparted to us and given to us, I was in a situation like this myself not too long ago, and I asked a friend who was a pastor about this, and he started asking me some questions to ask myself and God. And he asked me, what is your heart saying? Does it get excited and dream about this opportunity? What does your heart tell you about your current situation? And then he said, where do you sense peace? See, he said the Holy Spirit lives in us, and obviously I believe that too, but we may not always receive that loud, clear, direct answer. You know, and this is where that godly wisdom and the Holy Spirit meet. Because sometimes the logical choice, the choice that wisdom would help us make and suggest, in that choice we're going to sometimes sense the greater amount of peace. And that might be where the Holy Spirit is taking us. The other choice we may have to make, it actually might be less logical. Wisdom would be saying, I'm not sure this is a good idea. But if we are receiving an incredible amount of peace over that, perhaps the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, it might not make sense to you, but I'm going to take care of you. I want you to do this. This is where I want you to start changing lives in this area of your life. So let's recap what I want you to take home with you today. What God wills happens. But that doesn't mean every single event in your life is scripted by God. God has given us freedom. Freedom to choose and freedom to follow. And so it's our task, it's part of our job to try to seek his will and follow it. And that happens every day, in every place, and in every situation. Number two is God's will for us is pretty similar. It's to love him with everything we have, to love others as God loves us, and to serve him. And third and finally, when making a big decision, use the wisdom that God has given you, along with prayer, to judge what will be the best course of action. Alongside that, seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and search for his peace. Nicole and I are still in a place where we're trying to figure out what God is really planning for us. We're excited to have Elijah in our lives, and we don't really know where God is going to take us. So we just continue to pray and seek where he's leading us. But I wanted to conclude today with a quote from one of my favorite novels, The Lord of the Rings. And it's something that has always helped me understand how to live. And many of you will know the iconic characters that I'm quoting from in this novel, Gandalf and Frodo. Gandalf, the wise wizard of Middle-earth, and Frodo, the unsuspecting, docile hobbit, are in a conversation early on their journey. Frodo, he doesn't really like the responsibility of carrying the one ring he has been given. He didn't ask for it. Knowing that he's carrying this ring, he knows he's bearing literally the weight of the world on his shoulders. If the enemy gets the ring, all is lost. But nobody else can carry it but him. And so Frodo wishes he could pass it on, but he can't. And so he says, I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. So do I, said Gandalf. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a big God, that you are in control and that you are all powerful. But we also thank you that you have given us the freedom to choose to love you. That is not forced upon us, but it's something we're allowed to choose, and you bless us so much by that choice. God, I pray today that you would be with each and every person here, that you would teach them each and every day and call them and show them how to live out your will for their lives, that you would show them and call them to love you fully, to love others around them, and to serve you. And finally, God, I pray that you would, and your Holy Spirit would just give and teach each person here that when they meet that fork in the road, that you would teach them how to seek your peace. That Holy Spirit, you would lead them and show them using the wisdom you have imparted to make those tough choices. Bless us, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Randall.